The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
We're back. Second hour is live. We had Dawn Staley on during the first hour. Really a great conversation with her. Cole Kublik joins us now, host with Greg McElroy of the top-rated morning show on WJOX in Birmingham, of course, an SEC network analyst. Cole, good to see you again. Thank you very much. So give us the latest on what you're hearing, what people are saying about where Nick Saban is turning for his two vacant coordinator positions.
I don't have much to report, Paul. I can't get around Birmingham. The streets are closed for the parade that Alabama fans are throwing now that Bill O'Brien's going to be gone. The celebration has not stopped here in Alabama now that they know they're going to have a new play caller next season. It's really wild, Paul, that, you know, the expectation, we understand where it is, what the standard is, what Nick Saban has created. But the joy that the majority of Alabama fans have shown with this departure of an offensive coordinator going from the greatest college football coach in history to go join potentially the greatest NFL coach in history, and that meaning that he's not good at what he does for a living, is just wild to think about. I think that there's optimism that someone better is going to come in, someone that's going to come in and be able to create new things, do different things, allow that offense to be even better than it was, which was not terrible, by the way. You go back 2 years ago to a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that threw for over 4,000 yards and 47 touchdowns, and an offense that, if you look at the majority of the rankings last year, was not terrible, with an offensive line that truly underperformed and a group of receivers that could not separate on a regular basis. So I'm not sure exactly what most fans desire. I do know that certain downs in the Tennessee game run the ball instead of throw the ball. I know that's one thing that we've gotten on a regular basis, but it's the defensive side of the ball. I think you've covered that on your show. You've had that conversation many times. Apparently, that's going to be better no matter who it is, no matter what it is. So it's a lot of celebrating happening here in the state of Alabama.
Well, there are a couple of names that I would like to ask you about. Jeff Lebby is someone you've dealt with at Ole Miss, now at Oklahoma. Is that someone that you see fitting into the system, or would even leave Oklahoma for Alabama?
Would he leave Oklahoma is an interesting question, Paul, because keep in mind, he was a part of that group that, remember, we're getting the band back together, and all the Oklahoma guys were excited and went crazy. Oh, strength coach coming back. Lebby's coming back. Like, Venables, we got our guys back together, which is awesome. I think Jeff Lebby is one of the best play callers in college football. I put him up there with Kendall Briles, with Steve Sarkisian. I put him up there against anybody else. Lane Kiffin, I think he's incredible. The fit, which you also mentioned, would be intriguing. So does he want to leave, getting everybody back together there in Norman, where things didn't go according to plan last year? And then two, how does it work? And I know a lot of fans don't understand, but I've had this conversation with Brian Daboll. I've had it with Lane Kiffin. I've had it with Mike Locksley. And I've had it last year with Bill O'Brien. You don't come in and run your system. You don't come in and run your scheme. I had it with Steve Sarkisian. You come in and run Nick Saban's offense. Now, you run it your way, and you call it the way that you want to call it, but it's his terminology. It's his style, so to speak. You just put your tweaks on it. He would be as far away from what I think Nick Saban wants to run, Paul, as any of the guys that I mentioned before. And some add different things that I think Coach Saban wanted a little bit more of. With Lane, I think he wanted to go a little bit faster at that point in time. I think with Mike Locksley, he liked a lot of the quarterback run stuff that he brought to the table. There was even a time that Lane Kiffin told us, like, listen, Mike's the one that knows all the quarterback run stuff back from the Illinois days. So he gives us that. I give the other stuff. So this would be probably as far away from what Nick Saban wants to do every game, week in, week out, as far as what Jeff Lebby does week in and week out. Could they make it work? Absolutely, because Lebby's that good. And I think Nick understands that he would give him a little bit of a longer leash in certain areas, but that offense is going to be able to help them be successful. And he's still going to have a lot of talent. No matter who the coordinator is, there will be talent to work with, and that always gives you a massive advantage.
One more name. I'm not going to go down the laundry list. This, to some, seems like the longer shot, although his name keeps getting mentioned in local media. And that's Dan Mullen. What do you make out of that?
No. I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm with you on that. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
And I know it's fun. First off, I'm going to give Dan Mullen a lot of credit, Paul. And you saw this like I did. He spent a ton of time in the studio this year. That guy was calling Matt games on Tuesday nights. he wants to make television work. And he has had that conversation with me in settings that you have been in with him that I have. I think he likes being with his kids. You know, his kids are going to be out of high school for too long. He wants to spend as much time with them as he can. Loves being around his family. Let's go ground level, super surface level here. You're going to take a guy who essentially admitted in a press conference that recruiting wasn't his thing, which kind of led to him being fired at that job, and you're going to pair him up with the most relentless recruiter in the history of collegiate athletics, and that's just going to work. Like that in and of itself, to me, I say no. But I also think Dan Mullen loves what he's doing right now. He wants to make that a career. He wants to see if he can make it work. And just look at some of the little things that he did this past year to try to show he is into television, wants to make television work, will do some of the things that other people who have his resume would probably never even go anywhere near. So I give Dan a lot of credit for that. I think he did a great job on television this year. I think he was fantastic, by the way. So I don't think that name is anywhere near real at all. The fact that he and Nick Saban got together before the national championship game, how brilliant would it be for Nick Saban to sit down with Dan Mullen and say, hey, who did you steal things from? Who have you seen offensively that you really like what they're doing? It would be a crime if Nick Saban had the opportunity to do that and did not do that with Dan Mullen. So just because you sit down and pick someone's brain doesn't mean that you're trying to get them to come in and be a part of your staff.
Let's flip over to the other side, which some people think may be more important. And that's all the names making the rounds. And I realize Jeremy Pruitt is the one that's hard to unpack, but give it a shot.
Well, it's not hard to unpack from the standpoint of could he put a quality defense on the field. We've seen him do that. I have said, I'm on record saying, I think Jeremy's one of the best in-game coaches on that side of the football that I've seen. I've called games, been on the sideline, Paul, and seen him screaming out the other team's plays that they're about to run, and it's that play. I know how he communicates that side of the football, teaches that side of the football. He could be successful there. One thing that would be very different for him is the level of talent. They lost a lot in the secondary. They're not near as talented as they were at linebacker when he was there previously, and they don't have the interior defensive lineman outside of one in Jaheim Otis that he's used to having when he's previously been at Alabama. But Jeremy Pruitt can coach ball. He can coach defense. He can game plan. He can adjust in game. And he just has that fifth sense, that extra sense of this is what's going to happen. This is what the opposition's going to do. Probably because he grew up around ball his entire life. Are there still some hurdles in the way of that? I believe that there are. I don't think they're insurmountable hurdles. And I think that's the reason that Nick Saban probably it's his number one choice. He knows what he's going to do. He knows that they can work off one another. I also think, Paul, that there's a part of Jeremy Pruitt that understands how and can go toe-to-toe with Nick Saban. And when I say that, I don't mean they're having a boxing match in the facility, but he can challenge Nick Saban on why are we calling this here? We need to be running this. We don't need to be in this alignment. We don't need this personnel grouping here. This is what we're probably going to get. And Nick Saban has enough respect and understands that Jeremy Pruitt is not doing that just to prove that he has some sort of authority or puff his chest out at the head coach. He's doing it because he thinks that will be best for his defense. And I think Nick Saban probably feels like he needs a little bit of that. He needs a little bit of counter to what he believes and what he thinks on a daily basis defensively inside that facility.
Before you go on that subject, and I want to get to Auburn, some people are already starting to jump on the LSU bandwagon for next year, but stay with Alabama for a second. Without knowing everything, because we don't know the coordinators and we don't know all the personnel, but we know enough, how would you evaluate Alabama for 23?
More question marks than maybe I can remember going into a season, but I've learned my lesson about betting against Nick Saban and saying that he's not going to be able to figure it out. It's very difficult right this second, Paul, because what we have now that we haven't had in other years is two more waves of transfer portal kids, probably right after spring and then right before fall. So there are going to be big names, quality players that enter the portal that Alabama is going to have an opportunity to bring in. They've also been in the top three, top five of recruiting classes every single year. So they have guys that have ability, and they're going to be able to put them on the field. But we've seen very little of who we believe is going to be their starting quarterback. Hell, we don't even know what style offense they're going to run right now. I mean, you mentioned Dan Mullen. I think a lot of people buy into that because Jalen Milroe's on that roster. And they say, well, if it's going to be a quarterback run heavy scheme, wouldn't someone like that make sense? If it's Jeff Levy, I would say Jalen Milroe probably not your front runner because you're going to push the ball down the field through the air on a consistent basis. And then just some of the gaps that need to be filled. You know, Henry To'oTo'o was massive for that group of linebacker last year, not because of the plays that he made, because of how he communicated. You know, Jordan Battle, very similar on the back end of that defense. You got some holes on the offensive line to fill. The receivers didn't separate last year, and you haven't necessarily brought different guys in other than one tight end that feels like they're going to give you a lot different than what you had a season ago. But, you know, guys like Ja'Cory Brooks have made plays. Those running backs that are going to be on that roster have made plays. Tyler Booker is going to be a guard, and he'll bring some nasty to that group up front on the offensive line that hasn't been there in a few years. So there's no way that I'm going to sit here and tell you that Alabama will not be in contention to win the SEC West. But I do think a team like LSU is absolutely not just going to be knocking on the door. They're probably going to be starting at the same spot that Alabama is when that race begins.
Cole, before you go, it seems from the distance, you're a lot closer to it, much closer, that Hugh Freeze is off to a good start. What do you make out of his beginning?
I think he's off to a great start, Paul. The line of scrimmage had to be addressed immediately. It wasn't a position of concern on both sides of the ball. I mean, it was almost a position of panic on both sides of the ball based on where it had been the last few years. You bring in a tackle from Tulsa that I think is going to be your starter at left on the left side right away. You bring a center from ECU that has athleticism that I think is going to be a chance have a chance to play, potentially start right away. You can bring a tackle in from Western Kentucky that's got a chance to start at right tackle. So that's three positions on the offensive line that have a chance to come in and start right away. You went and got big physical bodies inside on the defensive side that can help you right now. The defensive tackle out of Purdue, big, long. He's a prototypical SEC defensive tackle. Justin Rogers from Kentucky, he is a stud. He is an SEC prototype interior defensive lineman. He will be a plug-and-play guy immediately in Ron Roberts' defense. And then you go to Maryland and get a little bit of a different body type, a leaner, kind of a side-to-side defensive tackle that can give you a change-up inside. So they've addressed that. I know people wanted another quarterback. Grayson McCall had some issues potentially getting into school. I think Hugh decided to go a different direction with Spencer Sanders. So some of that hasn't worked, but I don't think that was emergency mode to go there. I mean, look at how these quarterbacks are being stocked up at different schools. Ole Miss is doing it. Kirby's done it the last few years. I think Hugh just realized we better have as much quarterback talent in that room as possible to give us the best chance to be successful no matter what. That's whether Robbie works or doesn't work. But I think Hugh Freeze looks at the baseline talent that Robbie has, and he sees the fact that Robbie Ashford still overall hasn't played a ton of football, and he knows there's a lot of development left there. So he's not going to look at Robbie Ashford as an issue going into the season. I think he just wanted to accumulate more talent to give him the best opportunity in another situation. The one thing I'll say, though, Paul, is wide receiver still needs to be addressed. You bring in a 6'6 kid from Cincinnati who I don't think is a separator. I do think red zone, he's a guy that can win some jump balls, can give you some situational stuff. Fairweather, the tight end from FIU, has got a giant catch radius. He'll be able to help. But they need receivers that can run past people. They need receivers that can get on top of a defense and be a bit of an eraser to help Robbie Ashford inside of his development over the course of this next season.
Incredible stuff. Always amazed and just shake my head after talking to Cole Kubik for the information. Cole, many thanks. You be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Paul.
That was... I mean, I'm overloaded with information and great information. We will take a break. We thank Cole for jumping on board after Dawn Staley. We still have plenty of time for your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen. Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and let's continue. More phone calls right around the corner. How about right now? Manny is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Hello, Paul. I just want to call you and inject a little levity and future season prognostication into the poll, especially coming off Cole Kubelik talking about Alabama and Auburn.
Of course.
If you don't mind, I'd like to tell you how to correctly predict the Iron Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, first I have a brief justification for why I know, and then I'll tell you the method if that's okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I have an uncle who I know you know. I will not give a shout-out to his name. I know you don't care for that, but he's a former sports writer out of Birmingham, a Heisman voter, an AP voter back when the AP poll counted, and he once invited me to Bill Lumpkin's party for the Free Iron Bowl, and I... And I made the mistake of saying, oh, there's no way to predict this. The Iron Bowl is totally unpredictable, right? And he corrected me. He said, no, the truth is historically the favored team wins 9 times out of 10. And he backed that up that very year with not only picking the winner but the exact score. So I would just like to pass that on to you for a little.
You know,
fun.
Manny, I used to go to that party every year. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but probably in 20 years or 25 years, I can only think of 3 upsets in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. That was his whole point, right? So that's a little tip from my uncle about how the mythology of all bets are off for Alabama versus Auburn is a myth. And thank you for backing that up. And thank you for listening to me. I hope it was enjoyable for the show today.
It was great, Manny. Thank you. And I'm putting my money down on the Iron Bowl tonight, even though the game's not till November.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Matt.
I tried to get through yesterday, but my call dropped. And hope you guys get mad at me. I want to talk to you about the hiring main offensive coordinator. Look, I know people are still hesitant at A&M. I don't blame them. But I still think there's one more thing that's taken into consideration. Paul, you know what that is?
No.
We have a good quarterback right now. He's going to be starting quarterback. I'm glad in this stupid quarterback competition thing. Connor Wittman is a good quarterback. He have a ton of experience, you know, a little bit. But if you give Bobby Trino some time to develop Connor Wittman, it could be this year he's going to have a good season. Connor Wittman could be next year. But if you give enough time, he's proven he can bring quarterbacks in.
I frankly think A&M's going to have a better year than people. I think they're going to surprise almost everyone. That's an early January prediction. Jerry is up next.
Yes, Paul.
Hey, Jerry.
Congratulate y'all for having such a great show. We listen to it a lot.
Thank you.
But this one, couple of quick comments.
One for what opened the door for Alabama to have a coach like Saban, their program. It really started a long time ago, when Tom Bear Bryant, he made this program what it is. And a lot of people, it's not old enough to remember Paul or know Paul, Paul Bear Bryant. But, he was the reason that the door's open for a coach like Saban to come in, for one thing. And we're talking about a few Auburn and Alabama games where he's been. You might remember the year the 17-16 game was with Bear Bryant. I don't remember right off.
It was 1972.
72, yes. I was listening to it outside, and, there was a national championship riding on that game also.
Yes, sir.
And I just had – then I had this – I kicked that radio as far as I could kick it.
Well, something that's interesting, and I appreciate your call. People talk about Bryant and Nick Saban, but The Alabama tradition started way before that with Wallace Wade and Frank Howard. And don't forget, Paul Bryant played at Alabama, and he came back home. That program had already won national championships, quite a few national championships in the 20s and 30s, and played in the Rose Bowl in the 20s, I believe. So I realize none of us were around then. I don't think maybe Dr. Fred in Louisiana, but the rest of us weren't. But the Alabama tradition started a long time ago. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Jeff up next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Got to say, growing up in the Northeast as a Texas fan, I know I'm someone that a lot of people down south don't really like, you know, not being from the area, having to latch on, just kind of finding a team, considering BC was the only one near us. And, well, their game day atmosphere isn't quite what we have down there in Austin. But I've been waiting for the right time for years to call your show. My father had me hooked on it ever since I was younger, but now with my Longhorns only being a year away, I think it's finally time to start calling in. And I just want to say, Paul, for all the listeners out there and everyone, you know, I plan on calling in a lot. We're not coming here for second place. You know, we're coming to win. And I know when I call in, everyone's going to laugh at me and say, oh, Texas doing what they do year after year. But when I look at what Texas A&M did when they came into the joint.
Jeff, I had lunch with somebody today, and the guy asked me about we were talking about Texas and Oklahoma. He says, is Texas ever going to be good again? And I don't know. I guess if the answer is yes, the second part of it is when.
Well, here's what I point to. I look at when you go back and look at the Big 12 prior to 2011, before when Texas A&M decided they were going to join, you look at how Texas A&M was performing in that conference year after year. They were a middle-of-the-pack team. They were essentially doing what Texas is doing now. They were not really cracking the top 10. You want to point to their final year in the Big 12? Yeah, they finally got into the top 10 at one point. But that was after everyone knew they were going to the SEC and the talent could play in Texas at the SEC. Now, since that same year, Texas has fallen into quite the decline. I think now you look at Texas, you look at Oklahoma, and they can tell their kids, hey, you can play SEC football here in Austin now. And that becomes a very attractive point to these young children
now.
Yeah,
by the way, Jeff, that is convoluted logic, but I understand it because I think Texas was down to really its last swing. Going west was a bad idea. Texas could have gone anywhere it wanted, ACC, Pac-12, Big Ten, SEC. It made a wise decision. We hit the break here. We have already talked to Dawn Staley and Cole Kublik. We'll talk to Kelly Harper later on in the program. They have UConn tomorrow night in Knoxville, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we've got a lot happening. Got Georgia and Tennessee a little bit later on. Bam and Mississippi State is, we watch the number two team in the country at home. And let's continue with more phone calls here. And Rick is in Charlotte. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. I've been curious about something for a long time. When you listen to coaches announcing that they sign players out of high school. And then the second thing they say a lot of times is that he'll be on campus in January. Now, I know some kids finish high school early. I understand that. But do this many guys show up with a high school degree in January?
Yes. Or are Rick, the answer is yes. You have to have a – you can't start college without a high school degree. It's been a number of years since I've been in high school, but I could have graduated in December. I virtually did nothing my last 6 months in high school, nothing academically, I might add. I got out every day at 11:45 with a work permit. Whether I worked or not is open for debate. I did, actually, for a short period of time, but it still got me out of school. And depending on how you do it, and I'm sure guidance counselors will work with you. Now, why is it important? Here's why it's important, because if you're one of these top schools, you want your player, now with this early signing period, you want your players on campus in forget January. Many are now there for the bowl preparation, so they're practicing during those 15 practices. The coaches are getting a great look at them, and they're able to be ready to go when the winter workouts begin, which is now, and then spring starts in 6 weeks. And you talk about the difference between showing up in December and January and August the way it used to be. It's dramatic, especially for skill position players.
Okay. I was just hoping that, you know, these schools aren't setting up some kind of a quick degree program.
Well, I have no knowledge of how they do it. And I'm sure it's a bigger challenge in some places than others, but for some people. It's a great question, and you've invited me to ask the question to maybe somebody in secondary education to give us a ring and ask us how it works. I really don't know. I think it's there's a lot of advantage to it. But think how difficult
it was.
Yeah, think about how difficult it was when so many people showed up for campus at the normal time in the early fall, late summer, versus 6 months earlier. And the experiences you miss, the last 6 months of high school is a pretty memorable time for most people. Not everyone, but for some. So I'll ask somebody out there who knows a lot more, and I do not know the answer to how I know what happens when they get to college. I don't know how they get out of high school, because some curriculum are more difficult than others. I know mine was not, but look what happened to me. Chaplain Mack is up next. If I'd had a better education, I would have been in a more honest profession. Chaplain, how are you?
I'm good today, Paul. How you doing, brother?
Very well, Mac.
Good, good. Well, I got some time off today, and I thought I'd call you. I was inspired by Cole Kubelik. I used to go to the ball game before they closed in the end zones and sit on an army blanket and watch it from there with my dad. When he gave me the facts of life, he said, number one, you're going to be an Auburn fan. Yeah, if you're gonna eat at my table, you're gonna be an Auburn fan, or I'm gonna tie you to the pickup truck and drag you down a dirt road. So, of course, he was a big teddy bear; he wouldn't do any of that. But he gave me some sort of choice. But I got to make my decision. I became an Auburn fan. I love him. And what Cole sounded like a Encyclopedia Britannica today. It was wild. And when he got to Auburn, I really kind of perked up and still wonder, when they open up the portal again, do they have their eyes on a more experienced quarterback to bring in the quarterback room to perhaps bring Robbie along or whoever it's going to be? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. I thought that was he said so many great things. I'm a big fan of Cole, but
it was hard to
– it was like stealing information from the mind of somebody really bright. The one thing I don't, What I don't know is what they're going to do in the next two portals, but I think he seemed to indicate that you'll see a lot more activity.
Right. That's good. Well, there's a lot of neat things that seems to be going on over there, being close by like we are. I live about 5 miles from the campus, and I'm all over the place here when I'm not flying around and speaking. But I just wondered what you thought about it, because I know you know things on the inside, and I appreciate your candor and the way you bring things along.
You bet, Mac. I think what Hugh Freeze has done is brought some basic sophistication back to Auburn recruiting. And you know, Brian Harsin was at the core a good football coach, but he knew absolutely nothing about recruiting in the SEC. And there were times when he just seemed reluctant to adhere to the way you have to do it, rightly or wrongly, and it turned out for him to be wrongly. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Don next in Georgia. Hello, Don.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm listening to Chaplain Mack. I think he could be a copy for James Earl Jones.
Yeah, you're right. And Bob, who wouldn't want to sound like that?
That's right. I wanted to thank you. I've listened to you all the time, but sometime back in August, you had Carrie Keefe on, and she talked about her book about Carney Lashley and Paul Bryant.
Oh, yes.
And my son gave me that book for Christmas, and it was thoroughly enjoyable. I would recommend it to anyone knowing wanting to know the early life of Paul Bryant and Carney Lashley.
Yeah, was that her grandfather that she was writing about? I'm trying to remember, or her father.
Yes.
Her
That's
grandfather.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and
Carney was her grandfather.
Yeah, these three people who really helped. Carney Lansford was a longtime Bryant assistant.
And the second thing is with the anniversary of Coach Bryant's death coming up, I wanted to give you a quote from Frank Howard about bowl games. Somebody asked him, a reporter asked him one time, which bowl game he was going to with Clemson. He said, well, it all depends on where the Bears go, and then the rest of us line up behind him.
You know, Don, maybe I've told this story, but I don't have too many Frank. I got the opportunity to be at an event once with Frank Howard. And this was late in his career. It was honoring Danny Ford, who was a Clemson coach at the time.
Yes.
He just won a national championship. And it was in Gadsden, Alabama, Danny's hometown. And they had a small little dinner beforehand for the roasters. And I found myself sitting next to Frank Howard. And it was an hour and a half of my life that if it could have only been about 10 and a half hours, I would have been happy, because I've never heard a funnier guy, a coarser guy. What you hear at a private dinner before the event, you leave in the private dinner. Frank just took it right out there and said the same thing in front of the audience that he would say in the locker room, which was pretty entertaining. But great coach and incredible person. And he and Coach Bryant, as you know, were great, great friends. We hit the break here. And we'll tell you that we'll touch your phone calls in just a minute. Kelly Harper in about an hour. Matt Zenitz coming up in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and Seth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Seth.
What's up, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, man, I just want to call and talk to you a little bit about, you know, our basketball situation this year here at Kentucky. Just wanted to see what you thought about this team faring in the SEC and just see what you thought how you thought we'd end up.
Well, Seth, I'm really impressed with what's happened since the Tennessee win. Was it four wins in a row now? And
We play Kansas coming up.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, Kansas is in a spiral at the moment, or downward spiral. But I think they have a chance to get back in it, and that would be remarkable for Cal to, as the critics were about to bury him, to rise up like the Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of these fans here, you know, they don't really realize, you know, what's been going on. We really, you know, don't have a lot to go on. You know, lately we haven't been able to back up our smack talk. You know, we just want to get back to where we were.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, you know, they still have a couple of tough games. I know that Tennessee is around the corner, well, not around the corner, but I think it's a few weeks off. And but I and you know, they're on, you know, the road's always treacherous. But I really, at this point, I like their chances to nibble their way back to the bubble. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And that's all you want. Sam is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Paul. Long time no talk, my friend. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, we're doing great, Sam. Thank you.
I am very glad to hear it, my man. My mother told me to tell you hello, first off. And I hope you had a wonderful holiday season, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Ole Miss's new hire at defensive coordinator. I think one perception, I guess, that people don't really understand is Saban has his own defensive mind. And I think that at times you can kind of get lost with kind of what he wants. Now, I'm not saying that Golding was amazing at Alabama and some of the calls were definitely questionable. But there is some stuff that I felt like he was probably limited to that I feel like he'll be able to have a little bit more freedom with under Kiffin, in a sense.
Well, I totally agree. I'll never forget in the aftermath of the Tennessee game when the defense of Alabama just played so soft as Hendon Hooker and Jalen Wyatt burned them to a crisp in three straight plays. And everyone wanted to burn Pete Golden down. But, I mean, Nick Saban's right there. He's on the headset. Nobody's – you might say that Saban has the philosophy that the offensive coordinator uses, but – Nick Saban is part of the defensive brain trust. He's in on the call. And I think Golden probably got far too much criticism. He was, you know, people just do not want to blame Nick Saban, so they blame the next best person.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I just think people also don't understand the three down front is something that Saban will not get out of, you know. I mean, that's his bread and butter and kind of what he believes in. But I don't know. I'm excited about him, man. I think that he'll be good for us, especially in the recruiting aspect. And it really can't get much worse than Chris Partridge was. So we are excited about that in Oxford. As far as the SEC goes, man, I'm just kind of wanting to get your thoughts, Paul, on how you think the divisions will kind of be set up once Texas and Oklahoma enter. You think it'll be more of a pods-based aspect of the standings, or you think it's going to be an addition with East and West still?
Sam, right now, I don't think there's much chance it's going to be a division. And I know we are way late in the game on that because we're it has not been announced, but I think we're going to see the expansion the season after this. I think right now there's still the working model and there's a million different possibilities, but I think it's the pod system.
Gotcha. Well, Paul, I appreciate you taking my call, man, and I look forward to being in touch.
Thank you. Tell your mother hello. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Jared is in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jared.
Hey, Paul. Hello again.
Hey there.
Sorry if my voice. I'm homesick with the flu, so if
ooh,
I cough a little.
Sorry about that.
Just wanted to say first, Dawn Staley, what she means to this area. She's one of our biggest heroes. I don't know if many people know where she came from in Philadelphia, but not many people make it out of North Philadelphia successful,
no,
let alone alive. So what she has done, she's really a hero here. Also, offensive coordinator, how come the name Byron Leftwich never comes up? for college? Is he just strictly pro?
He's been a pro. I mean, he just got fired at Tampa. He's always had a good reputation. I don't know. When you're a coordinator in the NFL, sometimes it's just easier to stay in your lane. Although, I mean, we just got through watching Belichick rehire Bill O'Brien. Sarkisian was with the Falcons. Obviously, Kiffin was a head coach in the NFL. I don't think there's a specific rule on that, but I mean, Kingsbury went from college, but I think Leftwich, that is just where he is at the moment. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We have a couple more guests, including Kelly Harper, Matt Zenitz on the transfer portal. Bubbling Over will join us in a few minutes, and we are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.